Saman means? What is the meaning of Saman?
Faith for purpose.
Then it has more stronger and stronger faith in?
Faith.
You know that all the pastimes of Krishna, here Krishna comes in heart, terrified heart, and gives love and affection. Right? Very powerful. And all the pastimes, among the all the pastimes, who is supreme powerful? What pastime? Rasa is both. If anyone is hearing, I class a very powerful pastime. Then what will be? Oh, very soon, you will have more progress and prayer will come and lust will come. And he will start coming. So Bhagavan Krishna has done so many pastimes, but among all pastimes he has killed Narasimhadev. It is so powerful. Very Narasimhadev. He stopped coming. So he killed Narasimhadev. Parade killed Hiranyaksha. Ram killed
Ravan.
Krishna killed Kamsa. Oh, Shishupal, Sarsavakra, Putana, Agasur, Pana. These are very powerful. And more than this, oh, he was controlled by Mother Yashoda. Damodar Bandhanina, more should be. You know, Damodar, we chanted in whole month of Kartik, given today. So this is more powerful than Kansa killing. So much. And more than this, what Lila? Powerful like Krishna. So, it has so much a strong power, like Mani Mantra and Mahaushadhi. You know, some medicine, if man is going to die and medicine is given, at once he becomes cured. He doesn't know. That, oh, this is so powerful or from what it has been prepared. Nothing to know. And by mantra also. By mantra also. Oh, Narada Rishi told to the boy who was dead, and he told that, oh, get up. And in a sense, and why you have left your father, mother? And he began to tell. So like, you know that cut, this son of Brihaspati, and he went to learn some Sanjeevani Vidya from Shukracharya, and his disciples were very envious. They killed Kacha, and they prepared meal from there, and they gave it to Shukracharya, mixing something, and it was so delicious. And he took, he just knew that I am taking the place of and then he was digested all right, all, and then he was thinking, very oh, but he's not coming. And then, oh, cut where you are. And he told some mantra and cut it from his stomach. So this is like mantra. And money. Jewel, they have so much power. Like searching jewel or desire stone. From one desire stone, lakhs and lakhs desire stone can be done. So, these pastimes of Krishna, Maharas Lila, is so powerful. You should not try to do by your mind as eminent. Don't fall. But try to hear with, listen with honor, so much honor and dignity. But don't do by mind, even. So those Swami, Siddha Swami has told in this, and Jiva Goswami or Sanatan Goswami they have told. They are telling that this power, this pastime Sanskriti is so much powerful that even Bahirmukh. That this is transcendental, a power will come and our lust will go. We will not follow Krishna, but we will experience this pastime. That is why Krishna has descended to pastime. Na svayam khalu Krishna ayamohita. Even Dhamedi. Na khalu Krishna ayamohita tasya maya manyamana swap pata samta swan swan devu.
The coward men, bewildered by Krishna's illusory potency, thought their wives had remained home at their side. Thus, they did not harbor any jealous feelings against them.
Their husbands, not jealous of Krishna, they thought that all this is Bhagavati. So they came to Krishna. But they thought that they are here doing, serving us. They are giving milk to them and they are serving and doing for my. Oh, they are here. Wow. By the Yoga Maya. He made another shape, form of gopi. So there was not anything bad in that rock. It was so powerful that anyone, those who hear the past and perfection, they will come in the heart and they will purify all this and love and affection in the heart. And thus, lustre will go forever. Someone criticizes me. Someone else, most of all. That he sometimes he is telling katha and he ends. In Gopi and Gopi. So they are one there.
Follow
it. Disciples and all followers. Don't go otherwise usually.
Ruined.
But I am from beginning of my life always remembering the past time, hearing the past time, reading the past time, meditating the past time of all, and also something explaining also. I never bend down. I never get up my sannyas, I never had any lady, nothing. I left my wife and children and everything and I am like. But they are not hearing all these things and not even the name of Gopi they can tell. But all are falling down, all. Why? Because they are listening, we honor the high class of the past time, which are so false. They hate to tell the name of God. But this is not. We don't hate to any lady. We should try to give proper respect to all the ladies. All the ladies too. All right. Daughter, like sister, like father. And each wife is then having so much honor for her that Prajvati used to do pranam to their wife, who used to be popular. Then lust will go away. Surely it will go away. Like this person. And if you are ready, oh, lady, 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 then you give up your lady, your wife, and you will collect so many things. And that is, and we are seeing everywhere. Sannyasis are collecting so many wives and so many things, and they tell, oh, don't give any money to your wife. Or money will be given to us. And don't speak with your wife, and then we speak with their wife. So we should try to follow. So we should hear those who are qualified and those who are honored from greed for this person. Those who have no greed, no conception of this, they should know. They should chant Krishna are doing here. But those who are senior, most, hearing so much pastimes of Krishna with honor, regard, serving the Guru, like Sukadeva Goswami, we must. And by this, now the main explanation of Vrindi Gautam, it will come now. So we will discuss this.
Govinda Bhakta Prabhu.
You answered the book is coming.
Oh, quick announcement. Now the book has now arrived, The Secret Truths of the Bhagavatam.
You know, they were practically, in some ways, as powerful as he was. Yeah, there are a number of examples. You have an example? Putana. But is Putana an example of well wishes of someone? He actually makes well with a different kind of this. So, in any case, these are examples given. Now, Srila Rupa Goswami will describe the character of one who's in ecstatic love. And these are important qualities, because when we understand them, then we won't become deceived or bewildered. Our movement is only 20 years old, so we don't see too many caricatures yet, you know, of sahajya mentality. It does come occasionally, as we can discuss. But as the movement gets older and people get more frustrated and impatient, you know, we are certain and confident that we will start to see some of these apparent symptoms. So you have to know what they really are in order to know when they're not there. So he lists altogether 9, and we can discuss them. And as I said, I think that Srila Prabhupada perfectly exemplifies all of these qualities. The first one is that a person in ecstatic love utilizes his time constantly in the service of Krishna. An unalloyed devotee has developed ecstatic love for Krishna, is always engaging his words and reciting prayers to the Lord. Within the mind, he is always thinking of Krishna, and with his body, he either offers obeisances by bowing down before the deity or engages in some other service. Sometimes he sheds tears. In this way, his whole life is engaged in the service of the Lord. So, anyone who associates with Prabhupada knows that that's a very nice description of how Prabhupada is constantly engaged, utilizing his time. This utilization of time is very important, although you may not be on the level of ecstatic love of God. If you learn how to utilize your time, it's to be understood that once you become 24 hours engaged in Krishna's service, then you start to approach at least one of the qualities of ecstatic love for Krishna. So by the regulative practices, gradually those regulative practices will help to promote you into ecstatic love of God. So we have another chance coming up on the Ekadasi day, the day after tomorrow. So everybody who wants to can try for 24 hours again to do nothing but hear and chant about Krishna. If you want to do it, tomorrow is the day to fix your mind on it. Perseverance is the next quality. It means to be undisturbed even in the presence of a disturbance. The perfect example of perseverance, of course, is Maharaj Parikshit at the time of death. The time of death, when you know you're going to die, I mean, we all feel ourselves to be persevering and transcendental. But imagine if you got notice that next week you're going to die. Now, what would you do? Would you keep taking this course? What would you do? Would you rush back to Bombay or Stockholm or London or New York or wherever you're from and tie up loose ends? You know, what would you do? Maharaj Parikshit is the perfect example. He sat down on the bank and of the Ganga, and he just heard the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam. Probably the best thing would be to continue the course. But he was persevering. So we have to see this as a quality, that in the case of disturbance, one's mind remains undisturbed. And that is only possible if one has real Krishna consciousness. Just like another good example we just discussed is Maharaj Ambarish. I mean, that was a very disturbing situation, but he wasn't disturbed. Next quality. I wanted to remind myself of an example of Prabhupada's position like this with Juhu. When Prabhupada was fighting for Hare Krishna land in Bombay, you know, every day there was these disturbances coming from the municipal authorities and from the lawyers of the people who were selling us the land or trying to cheat us of the land. And Prabhupada had to deal with the lawyers constantly and deal with so many officials, and yet it was astounding to watch Prabhupada. As soon as it came time to give the class, he would just come out and give these wonderful classes every evening. And I was so disturbed, I had difficulty even just attending the class, just sitting there and concentrating on listening to Prabhupada, you know, and my mind is just full of all the thoughts of what had happened during the day. But Prabhupada was just speaking about Krishna without being disturbed at all. So this is a very wonderful quality. The fact that Prabhupada, in fact, had to deal with all the difficulties of this kind, and yet every morning the dictaphone was going on and off, and Prabhupada was just translating these eternal Bhaktivedanta purports. So he certainly manifested this quality. Detachment means one who gives up all kinds of attachment to materially worldly things. The example is Bharat Maharaj, who had a very beautiful wife and children and kingdom. Bharat Maharaj gave up everything. Very, very detached. Detachment means that Prabhupada says that in the beginning a neophyte should keep himself away from allurements, but in a mature stage, even in the presence of alluring things, he is detached. This is a very nice instruction, that although we have to be detached, we should not overestimate our level of detachment. In other words, if we're aware of what our own attractions to Maya are, then in our own neophyte condition, we have to be very careful not to set ourselves up for where we're going to fall down or become entangled in some material attraction. Prabhupada is very clear about this. He says the neophyte must be careful not to allow himself to become allured. However, in the advanced stage, there's no question of attachment to anything material. Why? Because one has developed an attraction for Krishna. What is the verse in the Bhagavad Gita that describes this? Param drishta navarjate. One develops a higher taste. Next quality is pridelessness. When one is not proud of all good qualities of pure realization, and in other words, one has all the qualities of an advanced devotee, but one is not proud. And the example is King Bhagirath, who begged as a mendicant from his political enemies. And then Prabhupada cites that example of Lala Babu, a big politician, or I guess he was a businessman, he's a landholder, who became a Vaishnav and lived in Vrindavan. He was also begging from door to door, even at the homes of his political enemies. Begging involves being ready to be insulted by persons to whose home one has come. This is natural, but one has to tolerate such insults for the sake of Krishna. The devotee of Krishna can accept any position in the service of the Lord. So Sankirtan is a very good way to develop tribalism, because it involves approaching people who may not appreciate, who may not be respectful. Sankirtan, both in terms of doing harinam on the street and book distribution. Both of these programs involve us meeting people who are naturally not respectful. And there may be a tendency for us to become proud in some way of our own spiritual position, but this should not be. We should just constantly extend to them the mercy. The perfect Sankirtan devotees are Haridas Thakur and Lord Chaitanya. Haridas Thakur was the greatest Sankirtan devotee. Haridas Thakur described when he went to jail, when they arrested him, that he was preaching to all of the jail people, all of the prisoners, were so happy when they heard that their fellow prisoner was going to be Haridas Thakur, because they thought, now we're going to get a saintly association. And Haridas Thakur immediately blessed them, saying that now you should all remain here. So they felt very disheartened. Why he's blessing us like this? We look forward to seeing him. We thought that somehow we'll get released or something will happen auspiciously, and he's giving a blessing that we should remain here. And then Haridas Thakur explained to them that my blessing is that you should never again go back to your old ways. So while you're here, you're very fortunate. You've lost the possibility of so much sense gratification. I personally had this experience. We used to go to preach in the prisons in America, and practically their ability to enjoy sense gratification is tremendously reduced. It's restricted. So in one sense, it's a great blessing. So Haridas then said to them that then at least if you ever leave this place, don't go back to that worldly association. So Haridas used to experience all kinds of difficulties in his preaching work, and he was never proud. He's very compassionate. Next example is great hope. It's another ecstatic characteristic. The conviction that one will surely receive the favor of the Supreme Lord. And there's a very nice quotation from Rupa Goswami in which he says, I have no love for Krishna, nor for the causes of developing love of Krishna, namely hearing and chanting. And the process of bhakti yoga, by which one is always thinking of Krishna and fixing his lotus feet in the heart, is also lacking in me. As far as philosophical knowledge or pious works are concerned, I don't see any opportunity for me to execute such activities. But above all, I am not even born of a nice family. Therefore, I must simply pray to you, Gopi Jana Balava. I simply wish and hope that some way or other I may be able to approach your lotus feet. And this hope is giving me pain, because I think myself quite incompetent to approach that transcendental goal of life. The purport is that under this heading of Ashabandha, one should continue to hope against hope that some way or other he will be able to approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Another example is the eagerness for achieving the desired success, which is samatkanta, or complete eagerness. Samatkanta. Example is Vilva Mangal Thakur and his prayers from the Krishna Kanamrita. There's a nice prayer. I'm eagerly waiting to see that boy of Vrindavan, whose bodily beauty is captivating the whole universe, whose eyes are always bounded by black eyebrows and expanded like lotus petals, and who is always eagerly glancing over his devotees and therefore moving slightly here and there. His eyes are always moist. His lips are colored like copper, and through those lips there comes a sound vibration which drives one madder than a mad elephant. I want so much to see him at Vrindavan. This eagerness, greediness, is a very important quality of a devotee. In the beginning, we can become eager. In other words, one of the points here is that we should be eager according to the level of our realization. The eagerness of someone in bhava bhakti is different than the eagerness of someone who's performing the beginning stages of devotional life. In the beginning stages of Vaidhi, you may be eager just to be able to chant Hare Krishna without offenses. In other words, the prayer of Krishna Karnamrita is not the kind of prayer that we can certainly appreciate the prayer, but we should be aspiring or be eager for achieving the goal within the category of advancement that we're presently in. So you have to know the degree of your advancement, and you have to be eager accordingly. And you can continue to read. So you can see, he's not worried about committing the 10 offenses. You know, in this prayer, Vilva Mangal Thakur doesn't seem to be concerned about committing the 10 offenses, for example, or material attachments of any type. He's just praying that somehow he can be eager to see Krishna, because he's a Raghunuga Bhakta. We heard about that yesterday. He's already in a very advanced Vaishnava. Attachment to chanting the holy names of the Lord in the same Krishna Kanamrita, there is another statement about the chanting of Radharani. It is said by one of the associates of Radha, O Lord Govinda, the girl who is the daughter of King Vrishabhanu is now shedding tears, and she is anxiously chanting your holy name, Krishna, Krishna. So again, attachment for chanting Hare Krishna increases according to the degree of purification of consciousness. Radharani's chanting immediately attracts the attention of Krishna. Who else has chanting attracted Krishna's attention? What's the famous example? Draupadi. Just by saying, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda," immediately Krishna became very much present and supplied her all of that cloth, sari cloth, to cover her body. Eagerness to describe the Lord's transcendental qualities. Another quote from Krishna Kanamrita: "What shall I do for Krishna, who is pleasing beyond all pleasurable conceptions, and who is naughtier than all restless boys? The idea of Krishna's beautiful activities is attracting my heart, and I do not know what I can do." And this is something that always impressed me about Prabhupada, is his eagerness for describing Krishna's transcendental qualities. All circumstances, Prabhupada was like a constant fountain of descriptions about Krishna. On all occasions, he was always talking about Krishna. No matter what happened, no matter what particular situation was developing, it reminded somehow Prabhupada of Krishna, and he would start describing Krishna. It wasn't that he had to artificially remember Krishna from something he had read, but it was exactly as if he was describing his most confidential and personal friend. As you would talk about your roommate, Prabhupada had the ease of talking about Krishna. Because in the prema stage, in bhava stage, when Krishna enters within the vision of the devotee in the heart, and in the prema stage, the devotee gets the association of the Lord. So because Prabhupada had achieved the perfection of Krishna prema, he had Krishna's association constantly. So you may say that that's very difficult to achieve. It is very difficult, but this is the science of bhakti that we're following. And if we follow it scientifically, then one day we will get that goal. That will come in time. And lastly, attraction for living in a place where Krishna has his pastimes. So I think everybody's attraction at least is starting to develop for living here in Vrindavan, hopefully to also feel that same way regarding Mayapur. Now Rupa Goswami describes the attraction. He says that attachment, this type of attachment is not possible for karmis and gyanis or impersonalists, not even for ordinary devotees. Impersonalists visit holy places desiring salvation, but it's not the real attachment to the holy place. In other words, what we've heard about attraction for the holy names, attraction for the holy places, these types of attractions are not possible for karmis or impersonalists. When an impersonalist wants to come to this holy place, when an impersonalist chants Hare Krishna, I've seen impersonalists worship the deity. But in every case, their interest is that they are thinking somehow that they will become one with Krishna, that they will become one with God, that they will become, realize that they are God. So it's very different. It's not done in the service spirit. Now, Srila Rupa Goswami describes what he calls, or what Prabhupada translates as, imitative attachment. And this is the case especially with someone who artificially thinks of Krishna in his pastimes, the Astakalika Lila. Astakalika Lila means that Krishna has constant pastimes that are going on 24 hours a day. So a devotee in an advanced stage, and Jivadharma is described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how a devotee meditates on the different, when a devotee is in Bhava Bhakti, he meditates on the different activities that Krishna performs, and how he, in his particular relationship with Krishna, is able to enter into those pastimes. And as just like if one is meditating on Krishna in a particular relationship that you have, when Krishna rests, you rest. And when Krishna does the following thing, you go to serve his servants in that particular pastime. And a devotee's mind is always thinking like this. Now, Rupa Goswami says that if someone has not yet freed their heart from unwanted material desires, and they try to enter into this type of mood, this is called imitative attachment. Pretending to talk with Krishna, it's not real attachment, but it gives a pretender hope that he may come to the real platform. It's artificial, it's not real. And there are two types which are mentioned. The first is shadow attachment, and the next is para, or transcendental attachment. So regarding shadow attachment, it means without undergoing regulations or training, from a bona fide guru, one tends to have developed attachment for the Lord. The example is that in the presence of a bona fide devotee who are chanting, one chants and feels some temporary attraction. You remember that man rolling in the temple room we were mentioning the other day? This is called shadow attachment. Just like when you're walking in the sunshine, the sun is shining on you, and from behind is a shadow. So the very thing that you're doing with your body, the shadow is also doing. But the shadow is not the real thing. So they imitate. In other words, the persons who are under this kind of misconception, they imitate the activities of someone who is actually on this level of attachment. And it comes on account of associating with advanced devotees. Without being qualified, without going through the process of bhakti, they temporarily manifest such symptoms. The other type is called para, which is on account of the shadow attachment, one feels the disappearance of all material pangs. In other words, temporarily, on account of experiencing the shadow attachment, one forgets all material pangs, material miseries of life, and one feels some ecstasy. This is called para-attachment. So just like you saw that man who was smiling. I was watching him very carefully because I thought it would be a very interesting specimen to consider. And, you know, he was smiling. He had no material anxieties of any type for the time being. Then he fell down. He was rolling around. We only can guess what happened when he left the temple, what he took up after that, what his activities were. But he will not, we could see, he's not standard. There's no sampradaya, no tilak, just a red dot on his head. And he's not bona fide devotee. But this is mentioned here, shadow attachment, para attachment. If an ordinary man feels either imitative attachment and in association with pure devotees performs devotional service, he can develop to the platform of pure devotional service. So this is possible, but even such a person, if he starts to get regular association with devotees, especially a pure devotee, and takes up devotional activities, he can actually develop genuine Krishna consciousness. Therefore, sometimes Prabhupada used to encourage people like that. He wouldn't discourage them, he encouraged them. And on occasion, some of them may have come further ahead. I mean, we can say in one sense that now, the next point is mentioned, then we'll make this point. The offenses against the pure devotee can extinguish both types of imitative attachment. So if one commits Vaishnava aparad, then that can extinguish the shadow attachment, and the result is that one will fall down to the second class level, third class level, or leave altogether. Now, if you study our society, ISKCON, the last 20 years, ISKCON has included many cases of Western devotees in this type of shadow or para-attachment. In other words, in one sense, this is a fact, that by associating with the pure devotee, Prabhupada, and by engaging in devotional service, they achieved a certain level of Krishna consciousness, just as it's mentioned here. In other words, and very often people became artificially hopeful of their position of advancement, or artificially convinced that they had achieved a certain level of advancement. But on account of Vaishnava aparad, they fell down to second, third class, or out altogether. In some cases, it means that their original attachment may have been shadow or para attachment. During Prabhupada's time, people actually felt themselves less, you know, entangled by material, as it's mentioned. The material pangs did not affect them very strongly. And they became strong on account of Prabhupada's presence. But when the presence was not there, there was a tendency to commit aparad in different ways, and one's position was spoiled or lost. Srila Rupa Goswami mentions another case in which one falls backwards. He says that when one experiences ecstasy, but because of becoming attracted by the idea of salvation or merging, by impersonalism, even on the ecstatic platform, if someone starts to feel the tendency for merging, then they can fall down to the level of power or shadow attachment. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in any way do not associate with Mayavadi. This morning we heard how determined Madhvacharya was to destroy this Mayavad philosophy. And you can see that the, remember what it was said, how the women are, the, what it was, the children are taught, right, when they pass school. Anyway, I won't repeat that example, but I don't know if that was a, how appropriate it was. But anyway, that, I mean, it just does point out how totally, you know, everyone in that sampradaya is taught to absolutely avoid the Mayavad philosophy. Finally, Rupa Goswami concludes by describing how if there are some discrepancies in the performance of devotional service, even if there are some discrepancies, the Bhagavad Gita says, apichet siddharacharo bhajanti mamananyabhasta durevata mantavyasam yagviyavashitohisha, still the person is excused. So if one is, and but there's a condition which Rupa Goswami states, and that condition is that the person should be completely detached from material enjoyment and has developed pure ecstatic devotion. If a person has developed pure ecstatic devotion and is detached from material enjoyment, then if for some reason there's some discrepancy, he's very quickly situated. Otherwise, he has to suffer something. In other words, if one is not on the level of ecstatic love, because this is in the chapter about ecstatic love, so we have to understand, this means someone in the platform, you know, that's mentioned here may do some discrepancy, then very quickly they become rightly situated. Otherwise, what happens is if one is not on this level and one commits some mistake, then for some time one has to suffer. There are different ways in which Krishna will be kind upon a devotee and make them suffer until they realize they're wrong and again take up proper devotional activities. So I didn't cover chapter 19, which means I'm going to do that tomorrow. Now, we're going to have some questions. Time for questions a little bit, but what I want to do is assign you what tomorrow's reading is going to be. We're going to cover chapters 19, 20, and 21. Now, chapter 21 begins the qualities of Krishna, and I had a specific way in which I wanted to cover it. It describes the 64 qualities of the Lord, and as you know, the first 50 qualities are contained within not only Krishna but all jivas to some extent, especially perfect devotees of the Lord. So I felt that in addition to hearing about Krishna, it would be nice if everyone would take one of these qualities and be able to describe how it pertains to Prabhupada. Since we're all versed in Prabhupada's Leela, everybody's read the Leelamrita, and I think that by doing this, it'll force us to, it'll just ingrain a little bit more deeply what these 50 qualities are. So there's about 50 people here. So I'm just going to give you a number, and then you have to, in addition to reading these chapters, each person, according to the number they get, tomorrow is going to be called upon